The gospel is part of the Last Supper discourse. Our Lord speaks at the Last Supper, and he says, love one another as I have loved you. He gives himself to us in the Holy Eucharist at the Last Supper, and he institutes the sacrifice of the Mass. He also washes the feet of his disciples. But washing the feet of his disciples was not about washing the feet of his disciples. Washing the feet of his disciples was about the work of a slave. It was about service. It was the work of a slave to wash the feet of their master. And washing the feet of the disciples pointed toward Calvary. Our Lord would provide the greatest of all services for humanity, the redemption of the world. And those words, love one another as I have loved you, our Lord specifies that it's the cross. It shows us how he has loved us, his death on the cross. Love and self-sacrifice are synonyms. Like there's a six-word summary of the gospel that says, total sacrifice, true charity, constant joy. Okay? Total sacrifice, true charity, constant joy. And maybe as he says, love one another as I have loved you, God has raised up, you know, saints who have done that. One in most recent would be someone like Padre Pio. Padre Pio, it's said of him that he gave himself to Mary and she bore another crucifix. He was described as a human lightning rod. He was struck that others might be spared. And so in the life of Padre Pio, who's one of the most popular saints of the 20th century, we see he bore those wounds of Christ on the cross, the wounds in his hands, his side, his feet. And it's been said of the saints that the saints are the best explainers of scriptures. Okay, if you want to understand the gospel, look at the lives of the saints. Like Mother Teresa was described as the gospel in technicolor. Well, we could say Padre Pio was the gospel in high definition. Okay, so clear does he reveal God's word to us. It's not a new translation from Hebrew or Greek to English, but from word into action. When Padre Pio would describe his childhood as ordinary, okay, he would use the phrase macaroni without salt. He says kind of dull. Macaroni without salt was his. It was bland. And they say Padre Pio, from the time he was 5 years old, he would tell people that he wanted to be a priest with a beard. He wanted to be a priest with a beard. That meant a capuchin. Okay? His family would try to convince him to be a priest without a beard. That was a diocesan priest. Okay? But ultimately, he had his heart set on being a capuchin, a priest with a beard. And if he were a diocesan priest, he could be near his family. But if he were a capuchin, they knew they would never see him. When he left for the novitiate, his mother brought him to the friary, and she said, now you no longer belong to me, now you belong to St. Francis. Okay? She united herself to his consecration. She offered him in union with his own gift of self. And they say that Padre Pio talked to his guardian angel every day from the age of five. And, you know, someone asked Padre Pio, why didn't you tell anyone that you could see your guardian angel? And his response was that he thought everyone could see their guardian angels. And one day when the devil would attack Padre Pio, one day the devil was beating up Padre Pio, and he beat him black and blue. Padre Pio could see his guardian angel standing by doing nothing while the devil was beating him up. And so afterward, Padre Pio asked his guardian angel, "Why did you not help me?" And the angel said, "It was not the will of God." And Padre Pio didn't talk to his guardian angel for 3 days. And Padre Pio, early in his religious life, received the stigmata. At first, they were invisible. He had the pain of the wounds, but not the visible wounds. Eventually, shortly after that, they became visible. And he asked our Lord to take away the visible wounds. He didn't want to be an object of curiosity. He wanted to suffer silently. The visible signs were an embarrassment to him. He didn't want to be like a sideshow at the circus. And finally, Padre Pio's God answered his prayer on his deathbed. Those 50 years later, the wounds were taken away. People would take pictures of Padre Pio, and nothing would come out. That was his. He didn't want to be this object of curiosity, and they would report him to his superior, and his superior would tell Padre Pio, "If you have anything to do with this, I command you to stop." Okay, and then the pictures would develop, and the church investigated the wounds of Padre Pio. The church always has a program of trying to decide if things are like have a physical cause, a psychological cause, a diabolical cause, or if they eliminate those three, then the cause is from God. It's a supernatural cause, and the cause is from God. So they would have doctors examine his wounds, and the doctors could never explain the wounds. He says, because the doctors said they never healed and they never became infected. Okay, you know, people thought maybe these wounds are self-inflicted, but the doctors had no explanation as to why the wounds never healed and why they never became infected. Okay, so it was something beyond the physical explanation. He was sent to psychiatrists, psychologists, because some people believed that it was mind over matter. Okay, they were self-induced. And one psychologist told his superior, "Tell him to quit looking at the crucifix. It's because he keeps looking at the crucifix that he's got these wounds." And so Padre Pio told his superior, "Tell him to look at a bull and see if he grows horns." Okay. Ultimately, the church said they were not psychological in cause, and neither were they diabolical. Ultimately, the church decided that they were from God. And St. Anthony once said that the saints are like the stars. They shine when God wants them to. And so Padre Pio was a shining star. Even in the midst of, you know, the scandals of the second half of the 20th century and into this century, God sent a shining star for the church. St. Maximilian Kolbe said that the most good in the friary is done in the infirmary. The most good in the friary is done in the infirmary. And in the life of Padre Pio, we see all the good that he did because of those wounds that he bore. Like people would ask him if those wounds caused him pain. And his response would be, "Do you think they were given to me for a decoration?" Okay. Like sometimes we think the crucifix is a nice decoration for the wall or a nice piece of jewelry. But rather it's the ideal, that total self-gift, that consecration to the will of God. It's the ideal toward which we strive to conform our lives. There was a doctor from Bologna who was celebrating his 25th anniversary, and the doctor said to his wife that, "I'll give you anything you want for our 25th anniversary." And his wife said, "There's only one thing I want, that you come with me to San Giovanni Rotondo and visit Padre Pio." And he said, I'll give you anything but that. Okay, well, you told me I could have anything, and that's the only thing I want. So reluctantly, the doctor agreed and went to see Padre Pio. And Dr. Sanguinetti was not a practicing Catholic. When Padre Pio met him, he said to the doctor, what took you so long to get here? I've been waiting for you. And the doctor was surprised. He said, why were you waiting for me? And Padre Pio told him that you are the man who is going to build my hospital. And the doctor was astounded, and he was touched, and he went to confession and changed his life. The doctor said, it will take me a while before I can come back. I have some debts to pay before I can return. And Padre Pio told him that buy a lottery ticket and you'll be able to pay all your debts. So ultimately, he won the lottery and paid the debts and was able to build the hospital. Padre Pio, after Mass, they say everything stopped in the friary for 15 minutes after Mass. And again, in the world, we are in danger of losing our Thanksgiving after Mass. Okay? The time after Holy Communion is a most special time to pray. And it would take Padre Pio 2 to 3 hours to say Mass because he would remember all his spiritual children at Mass. And so in the life of Padre Pio, we see the value of the cross. Love one another as I have loved you. One asked to be taken down, the other asked to be taken up. Okay? In our cross, when we share in the cross of Christ, we can ask to be taken down, or we ask to be taken up. We can ask to be taken up. They say Pius XII asked, what does Padre Pio do all day? And one priest told him that he's forgiving the sins of the world. He would hear confession for long hours every day after Mass. Many people would, you know, travel to go to him to confession. Paul VI wrote Humanae Vitae in July of 1968. Padre Pio died in September of 1968. But before Padre Pio died, he sent a note to Padre Pio. Padre Pio sent a note to Pope Paul VI, congratulating him on that encyclical, because Padre Pio said that contraception will lead to abortion. Abortion will lead to euthanasia, and euthanasia will lead to suicide. And so Padre Pio was prophetic. We say St. Francis prayed for two things. He would pray, Lord, give me a share of your suffering. Lord, give me a share of your love. Okay? The measure of our suffering, the suffering we bear, is a measure of the love we have in our hearts. Okay? The crucifix, like we say, is the yardstick against which all love is measured. The greatest of all loves endured the greatest of all sufferings. Okay? And when he says, Lord, give me, love one another as I have loved you, he often gives us a share in his cross that is the visible, enables us to give visible expression of the love we bear in our hearts. Okay, so we pray that we might live up to that commandment, not ask to be taken down, but rather to be taken up into his perfect consecration of himself.